I wasn't lying when I picked the Timberwolves in six. Take that, Shannon Sharp. And I know it's only one game, but man, the optimism that I have for the squad. Let's talk about it with Chris Hine from the Minnesota Star Tribune, covers the Minnesota Timberwolves. He joins us now on the John Schuster Call Banker Hotline. Chris, how you been?
I'm good, Henry. How you doing?
I'm doing awesome, man. I'm doing awesome. What a spectacular, you know, game to watch there for game one. I watched it on replay because I didn't see it live because I was at the Kendrick Lamar SZA concert. But, man, oh, man, that was fun to watch and see them play as well as they did on Saturday. What was the most surprising thing about that performance in your mind about what they did on Saturday night?
I wrote about it for my newsletter this week, but I would say probably the transition. I think the fact they got out and ran as well as they did, as often as they did, the kind of looks they were generating, I think it took the Lakers by surprise. Now, this is a team that was like bottom five in fast break points throughout the season, but they really made a concerted effort to change ends of the floor, you know, make Luka, LeBron have to get back on defense instead of taking their time. And that's where Jaden McDaniels thrives sometimes in transition. I think that's how he was able to get going. So just their ability to get out and run was one of the keys, the big keys to the game, and I think really took the Lakers by surprise. And I don't think you would have expected that coming into the game.
Yeah. Well, the Lakers, you know, they played well in that first quarter. They even led at the end of the first quarter, 28-21. What do you think was the pivotal moment or the pivotal thing that kind of shifted there in that second quarter?
Yeah, it was that start of the second quarter. I think with the collapsing of the defense, Jaden hit his first turnaround fadeaway jumper. And I kind of said to myself when I was sitting there, when he hit that shot from about 15 feet, I was like, oh, Jaden's hitting that shot, so he might be in for a good night. And sure enough, you know, he pretty much hit almost every shot he took after that. And Naz Reid came in off the bench. And it was a kind of an up and down end of the season for Naz. But then he came in and he started flame throwing as well from deep. And it's like, okay, Jaden and Naz are locked in here for these guys tonight. And that was the recipe, right? The Lakers are going to make Ant have to give it up. They're going to make him try to figure out the defense. And the best thing for Ant to do is attract all that attention and try to create open looks for his teammates. And they got to knock him down when they get him. And that was the formula in game one. Jaden and Naz took full advantage. And, you know, that's why Ant goes 8-for-22, has 22 points, but he has 9 assists. And that's how the Wolves, that's the formula for a 22-point victory in game one.
Yeah, dominating victory for the Minnesota Timberwolves there in game one. What did you make? Because I'm a little bit, you know, myself, I'm kind of like, he played okay, but he didn't play all that great. Well, what is your take on what Julius Randle did in game one?
Yeah, 7 turnovers, obviously a concern. And, you know, I think he's going to address that. The physicality, you know, he got the technical there when he and Jared Vanderbilt got into it. I think it was in the third quarter, maybe early fourth quarter. But I think this is kind of what I think about the Wolves when I think about their depth, right? There are some nights where it's not really a Julius Randle game, right?
Yep.
And then Jaden and Naz Reid step up and have big nights. Then there are other nights where maybe Jaden and Naz Reid don't have it, but those are the nights that might be a Julius Randle game, or it might be a Dante DiVincenzo game, or Nikhil hits 4 or 5 threes. You know, that's what this depth affords you. When one guy doesn't quite have it going on a given night, you have all these other weapons that you could deploy, and guys that are capable of having big nights to help compensate for when somebody else doesn't have a particularly great night. And there are times when Julius, like that Memphis game, you know, when he was just absolutely rolling and he could take over a game. So, you know, I think a little bit of a feeling out for him in game one, but I still think he did enough in terms of generating open looks himself. And I don't think it was like a liability or anything like that. I think he's going to adjust after game one, see how they're defending him, see where maybe he can best fit in, and figure that out for game two.
Talking to beat writer covering the Minnesota Timberwolves, Chris Hine for the Minnesota Star Tribune here on the Lake Show. News Talk 830 WCCO. When I look at the Lakers, one of the reasons why, Chris, I've selected the Wolves to move past the Lakers is because I never fully bought into the national hype and the narrative of the Lakers being a team that was constructed to make a deep run. And the reason why, and this series is just getting started, it's not over. The Lakers could easily I don't say easy, that they could win this series, but I think that they are a flawed roster. And the reason why I believe that is because most people will look and say, oh, man, they hoodwinked the Dallas Mavericks. They were able to get Luka, and Luka's a phenomenal player. And for the long term, I think it's going to work out for them. But in the short term, Anthony Davis, a future Hall of Famer, phenomenal on both ends of the court. I look at the Lakers, and I just don't respect their front court.
Yeah, and I think, not that the Wolves would publicly say this, but I think they saw an area that they could attack. And Jaden McDaniels had a good point after the game the other night. When the Lakers have Jackson Hayes out of the game, Jaden McDaniels is like the tallest player on the court sometimes. So that's a license for him to just attack, and he can crash the offensive glass. He can get rebounds. I think he had 9 rebounds the other night. He put back both of the misses that he had. He was 11 for 13, but each of those 2 misses, he put them back in. And, yeah, I think the Wolves see that, and that's a license to attack the rim. So the Lakers chose the path of trying to crowd the paint with all those bodies, and the Wolves were able to knock down the open looks, and they were getting some very wide open looks. So do the Lakers counter by staying at home more on the Wolves shooters? Do they try to make Anthony Edwards, who has struggled at times, to finish at the rim? His percentages aren't, you know, they're a little off this year finishing at the rim. Do they try to just make him finish at the rim more when he drives it and not collapse the defense as much? Maybe that's one of the adjustments they try to do in game 2. You know, where do they deploy LeBron? How much does Jackson Hayes play? Because right now, I think there is a, you know, just overall a personnel advantage for the Wolves. But, you know, at the end of the day, can Luka Doncic and LeBron James kind of enter superhero mode? And what do the Wolves do to counter that? They're obviously capable of doing it. Can they do it throughout a whole series? And how would the Wolves answer if that does happen?
Yeah, and you're 100% correct. You know, like when I think about the Lakers, I think of LeBron and I think of Luka. The last month or so, people were kind of throwing Austin Reeves' name in there like he's like there's some sort of big three. The Lakers don't have a big three, correct?
I mean, they kind of do. I think Austin Reeves is a very good player.
I think he's good, but I don't think he's worthy of a guy being kind of pictured as part of a big three.
Well, he's definitely not on the same level as Luka and LeBron, or like when I think of like a big three, quote unquote, I think of like somebody who's like an all-star caliber player, right?
Yes, yes.
I don't think Austin Reeves is quite there. He's a very good player, but I think the Wolves look at Austin Reeves and say, we gotta make sure he doesn't get going. Like that's number one on the, or not number one on the priority list, but it's very high on the priority list, and that's why you saw them kind of hiding Mike Conley on other matchups, because I think the Lakers might have thought that Austin Reeves versus Mike Conley was a matchup that they were going to try to hunt and take advantage of. But the Wolves, you know, Ant kind of took that matchup. Ant can be a very good on-ball defender at times when he wants to be. And I think, you know, in the playoffs, you take that, you ratchet that defense up a little bit, and you can take an Austin Reeves out of the game. The Wolves have done that before to players, you know, like, you know, Devin Booker, they've taken out of playoff games before. Jamal Murray, they've taken out of playoff games before. So they are accustomed to, you know, dealing with very talented players and taking them completely out of games. And so I think that's kind of the formula with Austin Reeves is let's make sure he doesn't get going and put it all on Luka, put it all on LeBron to have to, you know, score. It's kind of similar to what they do with Nikola Jokic. These guys don't want to score, have to score 50 points to win games, right? LeBron is a playmaker. Luka is a playmaker. But if you take away part of their superpowers, you make them a little more one-dimensional and maybe you wear them out a little bit in the process.
You know, Chris, you know, I know that Jaden McDaniels had a remarkable game, one of the best games, I believe, in his career. He was awesome. Anthony Edwards could have shot the ball better. We know he missed some time with the cramp and all that stuff, whatever. They won by 22 points. But there's a but here. And the but is they're not likely to shoot 50% from three again with taking that many three-point shots. So where do they need to improve in game number 2 tomorrow?
It is finishing at the rim a little bit. And I'll counter by saying this. The Wolves did shoot a very high three-point percentage during the course of the season. And I'm a big believer that, you know, the quality of looks also determines how well you shoot from three-point range. And the quality of looks that they were getting was fantastic. So not to say that 50% is repeatable, but is 40% repeatable? You know, and does Anthony Edwards get to the rim a little bit more? Does Julius Randle get going a little bit more? If the Lakers aren't going to commit as many bodies to the paint, that probably leaves a little bit of room for Rudy Gobert in the lob game a little bit too. That didn't really happen in game one. So those are the adjustments. If the Lakers have to sell out to try to collapse or stay home on shooters, I think it's going to open up a little bit more in the paint, and that's where, you know, like Randle, Gobert, and Ant, I think, can get going a little bit.
All right, last thing for you, Kristen, we'll let you go. Any thoughts on this series that you had going in? Has any of those thoughts changed with regards to how well this team played on game one?
Not really. I kind of thought that, you know, the Wolves, from a personnel standpoint, were just a deeper team, and that showed in game one. But let's see how the Lakers counter. They're obviously going to come out with a lot of energy. It's LeBron James. It's Luka Doncic. It's a lot of playoff experience. It's a lot of winning basketball on the other side of the court with those two guys. So, you know, not ready to crown anybody yet based off of a 22-point win, because I think they're going to come back with some answers here. But certainly, I think from the Wolves' perspective, you wondered if they could reach this level. Were they ready to face the Lakers? Would they be able to tap into their depth in this series and at least make it a series and not, you know, Lakers in four or five like you might hear out there in the national media? And the answer was a resounding yes. So I think at the very least, we're in for a deep series here. It all just depends on how the Lakers respond in game two.
Hey, Chris, always a pleasure to have you on the show, my man. Enjoy the rest of the series.
Thanks, Henry. Appreciate it.
All right, take care. That's Chris Hine. Check out his fine work for the Minnesota Star Tribune.